everyone. What's up? My name is Gregomel. I'm Rare Day One Update. I'm joined by two of my friends here.
Hi, I'm Air.
I'm Gulzar.
What are you looking around for? Someone's cutting the grass outside.
No, I thought that was coming from your laptop.
Oh, that's like, a lawnmower.
The laptop's just taking off right now. And what are we talking about this episode?
Spider-Man.
Far from home. And we both just saw it. Oh, all of us, actually. I don't know why I said both. My bad. Sorry. I didn't mean to exclude one of you.
which one of us were you excluding?
He's looking right at Gulzar.
I'm pretty sure I saw it first before you guys, no?
We saw it at the same time.
Oh, my showing was at 7 or 7:30 or something.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
Does this matter?
Yes.
Yes, it does. But yeah, we all saw it, and I loved it. What about you guys?
I liked it immensely. I thought it was great.
Is that another... What? Why did you use different words?
I thought it was good.
There are a lot of words in the vocabulary. I can use them all if I want to.
I thought it was good. So Spider-Man Far From Home is the next movie after Spider-Man Homecoming, and it closes off this phase after Endgame, right?
Yeah.
Closes off or starts a new one?
It's technically the last... like, you know how Ant-Man was the last Phase 2 movie? This is like that. Mm.
So this is going to be the last of this phase, and then... and as a Spider-Man movie, I thought it was good. I don't know if I would put it better as Homecoming or about maybe the same as Homecoming.
They had different strengths and weaknesses.
Yes.
So it's kind of hard to judge, especially after just watching it once.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, you know, there's a lot of like really good moments. There's a lot like this. It's kind of strong throughout. Like, it's consistently strong throughout the entire movie. It's not without flaws, but it also surprised me, which is not what Homecoming did. Homecoming was kind of spoiled by all the trailers, whereas Far From Home had great surprises in it.
And like,
actually, a lot of the trailers spoiled Far From Home.
I don't really see.
We'll talk spoiler free first half and then spoiler.
Yeah, they went on a huge spree of marketing spree.
I'm only talking about the official trailers, not the TV spots that, like...
I'm talking about the official trailers.
Yeah, there weren't a whole lot. There were a couple that I wish I didn't know, but not Far From Home, where the entire story was kind of... Mm-hmm. Sorry, not like Homecoming, where the entire story was.
Yeah.
What was I going to say?
What do you want to talk about first? Let's talk about Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal. He plays Mysterio.
And he stole the goddamn show.
He was, honestly, he played the role so well. I loved him as
Mysterio. They finally did a Mysterio really well.
Yeah. I mean, first time they did it was, you know, home run.
Not a home run.
When was the first time they did it?
This is the first time they did it, and it's a home run.
Oh, okay. Okay, what are you
worried about? They didn't adapt Mysterio before.
I know, but you said the first time wasn't a home run.
No, the first time they did it, and it was a home run.
Oh, okay. I heard that completely wrong. I think me and you did.
You were like, what are you saying? I'm
like... No, it's another Mysterio? Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal, honestly, he did the role so well in terms of acting and just his character and how he brought Mysterio
as a character. Yeah, like, his character is very unlike any other in the Marvel Universe.
We're not going to go to spoilers, but like...
So let's go to our breakdown. How was the story?
Story-wise, there was a few things that were in there that kind of fell off, I guess. Like, some stuff that just felt like they put it there just to angst up the teen drama in the movie.
Yeah, this was very much not just a superhero movie. It was a teen comedy. It was like, okay, so Peter wanted it to be a teen comedy. Like, a comedy romance movie, I mean. Mm-hmm. And Fury just keeps coming. He's like, no, it's a superhero movie. No, it is a superhero movie.
That's what it felt like, yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily say it's a bad thing. Like, it reminded me constantly that Peter Parker is a high school kid, and I like the Spider-Man is a high schooler thing.
Yeah.
You know? Because they didn't really do that properly in the prior trilogies anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But... I like that because it's like he's a kid. Like we have a bunch of adult superheroes. He's the only one who's a little kid.
And it helps that Tom Holland still looks like a kid.
And he brings that up himself too, right? Because in this movie, are we talking about Endgame spoilers? We should. Like, it doesn't matter, right?
At this point, we're gonna spoil Endgame.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it yet, I don't know. Whatever.
Doctor Strange dies.
Oh no. He doesn't. But
yeah. So as you know, Iron Man. He meets his end game. And that worked. Yeah. And Tony, and pretty much Spider-Man is going to be the next. Well, he well, terms of
it's implied whatever, that like
implied he's the next.
Yeah, the, right? There's like a void in the superhero world. Yes. And spot like Peter Parker.
Spider-Man's supposed to pick up the pieces.
Yeah. Or like he's at least expected to.
By it's because he's got the Iron Spider suit.
Yeah,
that's basically it.
It's also because Tony Stark trusts him a lot, right? Yeah. And he sees him like as his men, as his disciple, and as Spider-Man himself doesn't feel ready for that because he says himself yeah. throughout the movie like I'm a kid. I'm not ready to pick all this stuff up.
Which, well, I think I will mention it in the spoiler half, but like one of my main complaints about this movie is revolving Peter's motivations.
Mm-hmm.
That's really inconsistent with like prior movies, basically. But as for other story things, like I did feel like certain characters are underutilized, like Aunt May again, underutilized, just like in Homecoming. Yeah. I wish there was like more of her, or just like how is she reacting to all this stuff happening in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Like what I noticed is all like Homecoming and Far From Home, they both played different type of messages. Mm-hmm. In Homecoming, Peter Parker was going way too over his head. He wanted to go way too high, way too fast. And this movie, he wanted to stay way too low.
Yeah,
but he's getting the wake up call that he needs to go higher now.
Yeah. And then there's also they did touch on it, like what was the world like after the snap and after people returned and how
they called the blip.
I think only the school called it that. But anyways, touching to spoilers. But I wish there was more. School.
I think everyone calls it the blip.
Yeah,
no, there was a flight attendant who's like, "What's a blip?" Like when they were talking to the teachers, the flight attendant's like, "What's a blip?"
Oh, is it? I didn't see that.
I think it's just the school's terminology for it.
Because they said it. What's he said? Oh, he got blipped, and the flight attendant pulled him out once. There was that one scene.
I'm pretty sure. Right?
Yeah, remember he had alcohol or something? And he's like, Flash. Oh, yeah, he's lying. He never got blipped, and the flight attendant threw him out of, like, first class or whatever, or took the alcohol away from him. That was a thing.
Was it? Oh, I don't know.
I just saw the movie yesterday.
Yeah, we all saw it.
We all saw it yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. You saw it right after us.
Wait, remember? No, I saw it on Friday.
I saw Friday. Never mind. My bad. You just saw it yesterday.
I just wish there was more about, like, you know, how the world was and, like, what mm-hmm. happened when people vanished, what happened when people came back.
Yeah, it seems like at the start of this movie, it seemed like they just jumped way too far in terms of what happened.
They contained it in a little montage.
Everything was back to normal.
And the montage was literally a high school news show, mm-hmm. which was like, okay.
Yeah. Everything went back to normal. Mm-hmm. But like, they went on a field trip. Who goes on a field trip right after?
Yeah, that is true. But the overarching story of just Spider-Man feeling that he's not prepared to take this on, and he's not ready for life without Tony Stark, and this being like a full wake-up call for him, saying that, okay, like, something, I need to do something, right?
Yeah, there are a couple of, like, repeated story beats that, mm-hmm. like, old, like, that have been done actually 6 times in the MCU that this movie did again.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it. If it's not in the trailer, I'm not going to mention it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to consider that a spoiler. But yeah, there are things that it could have done better. Its story is not its strongest point.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the acting and the performances that is its strongest point.
Definitely, yeah.
It's definitely not the music, because there's that one song that got played over and over again, and it's not the Spider-Man, like the Spider-Man cartoon theme that mm-hmm. was in all the trailers. I don't think that was played once.
Yeah, like, the story wasn't the strongest point. It was the way I fully agree with you, the way the performers enhanced that story and told it was probably the best part.
There was only the one music track that was even a noticeable thing, and they used it over and over again, and it was just like some generic orchestra thing.
How was the dialogue? The scripting.
Oh, like I kind of, it was touching a little bit too funny. Like there were jokes in inappropriate moments to like
sometimes Guardians, a little cheesy.
Yeah, Guardians Volume 2 level.
Yeah, some jokes were just there.
Yeah.
But they're high school kids. But like it's still like when you're in that type of situation, mm-hmm. you're really gonna be doing that.
Yeah. Like well, even the two teachers that were chaperoning them, it's like you're gonna make that joke now of all times. Really?
But they set him up right at the beginning of being incompetent.
Yeah,
both the teachers, JB Smoove, whatever teacher.
JB Smoove was great.
He was just like, I don't give, like, I'm hands off completely now. I don't even know what's going on.
Don't blame me.
That
blame
one teacher that's trying his hardest to keep the trip going. Poor guy, man.
So is there any other spoiler-free things?
Acting, like,
can we, like, anybody other than Jake Gyllenhaal? Yeah, what'd you think of
Tom Holland? I think did a great job for acting. No?
Yeah.
Especially near the ending, like, his performance of the ending of, like,
the third act.
I thought Happy third was act, really right? good too. Hmm? Happy was really good too.
Dude, do you think Jon Favreau knew, like, what? Because he just cameoed himself in Iron Man 1 because he was a director for Iron Man 1 too. Yeah. And he likes cameoing in all of his movies, so he just gave himself a super small role in Iron Man 1, and now look at him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was because he was
dating Marissa Tomei.
he was fairly prominent in this movie. Mm-hmm. Right. What do you guys thought about the action?
Oh yeah, you know what? That's so the action. It was pretty much all CG.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't a fan of the CG.
Man. Honestly, the first really, half, there like were the scenes where Spider-Man, like Tom Holland without his suit, was doing the Spider-Man actions. The CG during those scenes looked really bad, I think.
Yeah, that and like he was in the Iron Spider suit very briefly, but that looked particularly bad. Like it looked a lot better in Infinity War and Endgame. Mm-hmm. His Iron Spider suit.
Yeah, some of the like the running scenes on top of the buildings and stuff, and his front flips and back flips and stuff in certain places.
Yeah,
you could tell it was like the CG didn't hold up there, right?
The CG for the Elementals looked. Yeah, decent. The flame elemental look kind of weird.
All the CG's done for Mysterio.
Yeah, I was going to say the end, the second act of, or sorry, the end of the second act, that big CG sequence. Not only my favorite part of the movie, but like fantastic, amazing. I like that.
Very it's just Mysterio.
The quality of the CG sometimes it never got to the level of, you know, the rhinos in Black Panther. It never got that bad.
Yeah,
but it was always noticeable. Like, I always saw it, and I never was like, oh, that was, like, somebody in front of green screen. No, it's like, that's always a CG Spider-Man, 100%. You
know? Yeah, there was a few, like, that one scene, I'm pretty sure we're talking about the same scene. That was just straight up all CG. Mm-hmm. Like, every part of it was CG, right? There was, like, no acting or anything involved.
Yeah, so, like, that big final fight sequence, like how it was, like, 100% CG, it kind of felt like I was watching The Hobbit trilogy, and like how all those wars are just pure CG. And I'm like, I know I'm not watching actual stuff. I know it's just all computer generated. That's kind of how I felt.
But Mysterio was done really
Mysterio. Well. Like, everything to do with Mysterio, I'm so happy with.
Yeah. He plays the best good guy. What about the sound?
Yeah, I mentioned the music. The one song, meh.
The music wasn't the big factor of it. What are you looking at?
I'm trying to figure out what the last thing says.
Oh, yeah, we have a little list on the wall for, like...
It says warning. So I guess that we're going to the
spoilers. Oh, also, I guess we're going into our spoilers now.
All right, so before that, rate it. How would you rate the movie?
Thought it was good. Go check it out.
I definitely thought it was good. If you're a fan of Marvel, then just...
It was... Coming off of Endgame, I felt a little, like, lackluster, right? But if you look at it strictly as a Spider-Man movie, which I probably should, right? I thought it was a really good Spider-Man movie.
I'd give it six spider legs out of eight.
We don't do that now.
Not yet.
We do that at the end.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like in terms of the layout, it doesn't seem like this would be the next movie after Endgame. It didn't feel like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure, definitely.
In terms of the overall story, felt lackluster coming off Endgame, but if you hold it just as a Spider-Man movie, it is a really good Spider-Man movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
And it's the best Mysterio movie.
There's Far From Home.
That's it.
Yeah, the best. It's also the worst.
No,
but it's also the best.
Technically, it can be. We're going to be going into spoilers now. So you guys haven't seen the movie, you guys could tune off now. And then after you see, you could come back and watch. We're going to give you some time so we don't spoil you. So let's go 5 seconds.
4, 3. God damn, J.K. Simmons is back.
Why does he always do that?
Because I figure who's going to wait for all 5 seconds.
My God.
So those are probably the best end credit sequences of any MCU movie.
It was a build-up for the next phase, for sure.
The end credit scene was the build-up for the next phase. Not even the next phase, the next saga, I think. I think it'll be more than just phase 4.
Yeah.
Basically... Fury, the real Fury, on a ship with Skrulls, which honestly completely solved and absolved one of my complaints. Fury felt like a joke.
He felt weird in this
like
movie.
Like he felt kind of incompetent and like the butt of the joke. Mm-hmm. And we find out, oh, that wasn't Fury at all. It was Talos posing as him, because the real Fury is off on in space with hanging out with Skrulls mm-hmm. on a virtual vacation.
So when I first saw that, right, I didn't think. I totally forgot the Skrulls were the good guys. I instantly thought Secret Invasion. I'm like, oh, they kidnapped
that's why they
Fury.
That's why they showed Maria transform first, yeah. And then she's like, really? You trust him 100%? And then Talos changed. Like, Fury changed into Talos. I freaked out when only he'll change. I'm like, oh no, Fury's gonna get shot or something. Again. The fourth time.
It felt like that end credit scene was like a build up to Avengers expanding their reach.
Yeah,
more than just Earth. They're going actually full universe.
It could be a hint towards Sword. So in the comics, Sword is like the opposite of Shield, where Shield is protecting the Earth. Mm-hmm. Sword is protecting the space around Earth, and it's like a space organization. Mm-hmm. But they never had the rights to even mention it because it was introduced in Astonishing X-Men. So it was always a Fox property.
Oh.
So if they're hinting at, oh, Fury is partnering with the Skrulls to develop something like Sword, then that's what it could be. And then that could be like the lead into a Secret Invasion, where it's a Skrulls mm-hmm. versus whatever.
A lot of the budget went into that final scene.
Oh, by the way, I didn't notice it myself, but some people noticed when they rewatched the movie. So there was one moment where Hill, quote unquote, Hill and Fury were talking to each other and Spider-Man comes in the scene. Yeah. But the conversation that Hill and Fury were having were they were talking about there are undercover Kree operatives who infiltrated S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
And then Spider-Man comes in and then they stop talking about that.
They
and
also
then
talked about Skrull sleeper cells, something like that. Like,
yeah, I think that's what it was.
I thought Skrull sleeper cells was supposed to be like...
I think it was the Kree.
The Kree sleeper cells, yeah.
Kree sleeper cells in S.H.I.E.L.D. So yeah. Kree, had like Jude Law and them, have infiltrated S.H.I.E.L.D.
But there is no S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore.
Well, there's kind of S.H.I.E.L.D. There's whatever Fury was doing at the end of Age of Ultron, remember? And that was redone... It's not explicitly mentioned that he recreated S.H.I.E.L.D., but he has a helicarrier, he has a crew.
Oh, he gave S.H.I.E.L.D. over to Coulson.
Well, no, that's not canon. that's decidedly not canon.
The one other thing I also want to point out. So, in the beginning of the movie, it was straight into Peter Parker being very interested in MJ.
Yes. Right?
That whole romance thing.
Yes.
That felt... very shoehorned, because in Homecoming there was no like thought of him being interested in MJ.
It was hinted at right at the very end.
Yeah, it wasn't even hinted at. Literally just said, she just said her name was her friends called her MJ.
Yeah.
So people were like, oh shit, she's MJ.
But it was not the same MJ that we know.
I think the important thing is not only did a lot of time pass, like even without the 5-year gap, a lot of time did pass, and he's a teenager.
Yeah, I know, but it's like it just felt like.
But it did come out of nowhere. I agree.
It didn't feel like there was no build up towards it. It just felt like, I'm interested in MJ now because the other girl's gone.
Cause it wasn't like, oh, I started falling in love. It's like, no, I'm instantly head over heels
for it. Yeah,
that's where we had the introduction of Brad.
Brad's character just felt like he was just there to a bit of teen drama.
Some of it was funny.
But he didn't even have like. Character like what was his
shot where you like there were a lot of quote-unquote forced scenes mm-hmm. that like felt like it had to happen because plot contrived. He's like, why did Peter have to take off his clothes in front of that
Russian lady? Was she completely forcing it? I remember I was telling you about this,
oh
too.
That's why, because he just wants to be put in a compromised position where he has to use the glasses. Like, why did he say the word execute them all? It's because he's gonna get framed, clearly, you know. Like, there were a lot of like forced moments like that, and I don't know.
In the trailers, they showed off an Iron Spider scene where he's getting all these bad guys in a restaurant.
That's a lie.
That wasn't in the thing at all.
Yeah. Was not at all.
I was looking for that. Like, I thought that would be his last thing he does before he goes on vacation.
Yeah.
But I was looking at the trailer. I'm like, why would you tell anybody that?
Yeah.
Why would you tell that you're leaving?
Yeah, then I was like, okay.
That's probably what they thought. And they're like, oh, maybe we should take that out.
Yeah.
Also, can you say like how Peter Parker's alter ego name in
Night Monkey?
Night Monkey. Oh my god, hilarious!
I love how everyone started calling him Night Monkey.
Did you notice in the mid-credit scene where they were still talking about Night Monkey on like in New York?
Yeah. I do like the fact that his friend and the other girl,
Ned and Betty,
they got together as a couple, but only for the trip.
Yeah, and then they broke up, but they're super mature about it for some reason.
The entire time, Peter Parker's just like, what the hell is going on?
I kind of wish that like their relationship wasn't even in the foreground. It was just all background stuff. So like, we're just as lost as Peter. Like, wait, you were together and then you broke up? What?
Wait, it was kind of in the background because we didn't know what was going on in the relationship.
I just wish there was nothing. Like, all we see is them like mumbling in the background together or like cuddling in the background or something. And then that's it. Like, they're never like focused on.
And Ned didn't like... He didn't really play the guy in the chair role in this movie.
He was the guy who gave the teachers an excuse as to why
Peter's gone. MJ kind of played more of that role, I guess, because she was a hologram. She found out the hologram thing, but still not too much.
Right. Since we touched on it, the Mysterio thing.
Mm-hmm. Actually a villain?
Yeah. Well,
thank God for that.
Here's the thing. I knew it was coming, obviously, but...
The way they revealed it, honestly,
fantastic.
I don't know if the villain reveal for Spider-Man in Homecoming or this was which I don't know which one was better because both of them were fantastic.
I'd say Mysterio. I prefer Mysterio.
I actually fell into the whole other universe thing. I'm okay. Mysterio is supposed to be this villain that uses CG and stuff, holograms, right? And then the movie went on and it's like, I'm like, okay, fine. Maybe Mysterio is going to turn out to be the villain because he is the villain, right?
But he might be from a different...
Yeah, he might still have powers. I'm like...
Fury believes him, right? Right?
I'm like, they might mess his character up or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you see everything going back to like normal, the CG turning off. And he's not even wearing... He's wearing
the actual mocap suit that like actors wear.
Yeah. I loved that. The fact that through the whole movie, he's just wearing a mocap suit.
I will say this. His motivation is probably my favorite villain motivation of all time. Hey, you know that the opening sequence of Civil War that he nicknamed Barf? Yeah, somebody spent like years of their life making it, and he called it Barf.
That's literally the reason why.
And all the people that was on his team like had a callback too.
Yeah. Well, not all, but like one of them. The big one. The box of scraps, the guy who was being yelled at by Stane.
There was two of them.
Well, they didn't get flashback scenes, but it was like...
Two of them got flashback scenes.
No, it was just Jake Gyllenhaal. Like, they added his face in like behind the curtains.
Yeah.
And then the guy being yelled at by Obadiah Stane.
Yeah, and then there was one of them.
No,
I swear.
They all had their own things. Like, he's the writer who got fired by Tony. She's the whatever. Like,
oh, yeah. That's what it was.
They didn't actually have flashbacks. I wish they had obviously clearly shoehorned him. It was like, oh, yeah, that character was there all along.
Mm-hmm. It's just the difference between, like, the scene in Homecoming I'm talking about is the interaction between Peter Parker and him when he slowly finds out.
Oh, that entire scene.
That scene was beautifully done. This scene was different is because Peter Parker wasn't there when they were like that whole reveal, but it was just slow reveal of everything was a hologram. And then he's just sitting there.
So he walks out.
I just love how Mysterio
and like, it was weird because everyone in the background was looking around like as the holograms were disappearing. I thought they were just as confused, but then they ended up being part of the cast.
Yeah.
I just love how egregious it was.
Yeah.
Like he jumps on the thing. Yeah. He's like, Tony Stark.
My whole thing is like, wouldn't his... Peter tingle be going off.
The entire movie has been kind of off.
It only worked when he got the resolve to like Happy gave him the pep talk essentially.
Yeah. It was mostly he didn't feel like he was ready. So
I'm surprised Edith didn't warn Peter that, hey, this guy actually worked for Tony. You know?
What do you mean?
Edith, the glasses?
You have to be really specific.
Yeah, which is weird because Jarvis and Friday would never have been that specific.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the Mysterio fight scene with Spider-Man where he loses the first time.
Essentially the nightmare sequence.
The nightmare sequence. That is Mysterio. That was done amazingly well.
The amount of times Peter Parker got confused and it was insane.
The amount of time the audience got confused.
Yeah, like, is this real? Is this part real?
For a second, I thought Mysterio did get shot until Fury was like, all right, who else did you tell? I'm like, I see what's happening.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Obviously Fury would have to save Spider-Man. I'm like, oh, okay, never mind.
Oh, no. No, don't say it.
If you're watching this while high, that would trip you the
I feel like the Mysterio segment is like way more trippy than the Doctor Strange thing where he's introduced by the Ancient One to like those stuff.
I've always wanted a Mysterio in the movies, right? Like since early Spider-Man, I was like, Mysterio is so easy to do because it's just straight up CG and it's like holograms and stuff, right? This is his character. He's designed to be a movie character, right? And they never did him. And then now that they finally did him, I feel like they did him so well, right? And I loved how I was a little disappointed at first to find out that he was the good guy because that's all the marketing was. Like he was going to be the good guy, right? They played that off so well.
Yeah.
I like how they played off the fact that Peter Parker is at a moment where he's looking for someone to trust in, right? Because he doesn't have Tony Stark anymore. He has no one else to look up to.
Yeah.
He was looking for someone to put that trust in. Mm. And Jake Gyllenhaal was that character.
Yeah, he was just perfectly.
That's why it was so
easy. Did you notice that, like, throughout in the entire beginning before Quentin Beck was officially introduced, Jake Gyllenhaal and his crew were following Peter around? So when Peter bought the necklace, the Black Dahlia, Jake Gyllenhaal was in a Hawaiian shirt and a hat.
Was he spying
on him in the background? Yeah, apparently. Like a bunch of comments were saying that.
Oh, damn,
like, I have to rewatch this and
that's actually
see that.
Pretty cool.
Do you think he's actually dead?
Probably. I don't see how he
maybe not
could fake that.
I mean, it's Mysterio. He faked a lot of stuff. I will say this: as happy as he like, as sad as I was that he died, and there's not going to be any more Jake Gyllenhaal because I think he is dead. His villain death, like him being a one-off villain and not being come back, makes the most sense because it's very clear that the next Spider-Man is going to be like a misinformation thing. And if he was alive and around, then they can easily say this guy is not from another dimension. He worked for Tony Stark. He got fired.
Yeah.
You know, there's a literal, like a trail. And now that he's dead, there's that's just gone, you know?
And the whole scene where Peter Parker at the end, he was
catching the arm
and finding out that he's actually dead and his like that whole facial reaction, his acting in that scene was actually really well done. I thought, I thought he played that sick. And then they went to the MJ scene right after, and I was like,
I will say this: the thing you were talking about, like the grief, like him like feeling the grief about Iron Man. I don't feel like they did it enough. I feel like they like we were told, he's feeling grief about it, but in reality, it's more just, oh, somebody has to be the next Iron Man. Is it you?
It's not really grief. It's more so that it was a lot of load on his shoulders as that Tony Stark left him that he just wasn't prepared for.
Yeah, and also not only is this another Spider-Man villain that was just a Tony Stark villain first, like, you know, Vulture was essentially like a created by Tony Stark, but what's up with the whole, hey, Tony made an army of killer robots again? Did he not learn his lesson like the last 100 times?
Just, like it randomly came out of nowhere and he just gave control of it to a little kid?
Why do all these drones like have guns and stuff like that?
And is there a limited supply of drones in that satellite?
Maybe it's just being made over and over again.
And did the US government not notice a bunch of drones just coming in from the atmosphere?
I'm confused. Yeah, the Edith doesn't make that much sense.
Yeah, Edith was just there. It was really weird.
Yeah.
And there's also the scene... Shit, man, why do you keep bringing up stuff that I keep forgetting what I'm going to say?
Sorry.
Shit. Whoa. Oh, yeah. Okay, so the drones, since they're made by Tony Stark...
Quick, change topic.
Since they're made by Tony Stark, I fully thought in the final fight scene when he was fighting the drones that the drones were going to be like, oh, sorry, we have like a back door that we can't shoot Peter Parker or something. I was expecting some sort of Tony Stark ex machina to come out of nowhere that will save Peter Parker at the end. But then he actually did all those like... That fight scene with him and the drones is actually really well done.
Yeah.
It actually showed off how capable Spider-Man is in overall like obstacle awareness and stuff like
that. I'm surprised he didn't do a CG, during Mysterio's fight, right? Like, Tony Stark didn't appear to tell Peter, like, you're garbage. What are you doing? Like, I'm like, okay, yeah, they're not going to be able to get Robert Downey Jr.
Did you hear, like, so you know Endgame when his I am Iron Man snap? That was done during reshoots because originally he just snapped it without saying anything. And they're like, oh, we just came up with this line. RDJ, can you come back? He's like, no, I don't want it. Like, I already said goodbye to this character. I coming back for this one scene is going to be a terrible idea. I don't want to do it. And then they, like, begged him. We have to do it. We have to, like, this is going to finish the movie. He's like, fine. But he would never have come back for even, like, a hologram saying, hey, Peter, I trust you.
Yeah.
He would. He never would have.
I'm glad he did
it. Because he was so resistant to saying coming back for the I am Iron Man line.
I'm glad he did it. It would... Then it would be like he's babysitting Spider-Man.
The zombie
was him supposed to do it himself.
The zombie Iron Man was enough, I think.
Yeah. That was nice,
This was just he was supposed to figure out the stuff on himself.
And also, we touched on it in the first half, but like that Comic Sans in memoriam thing in the very beginning, is, it was so perfect.
I was like, the editing that was going on at the beginning, I was like, is this real? Like,
the Getty Images vision.
I was like, the editing is so bad. And then I was like, oh, it's a high school kid.
No, as soon as I saw In Memoriam in comics, I'm like, I know what this is.
Oh man, I was like, I was half expecting her to say In Memoriam of like Stanley or something like that, but then it ended up being all the characters. I was like, oh, cool.
And actually, sorry, there's one more thing that I said I was going to mention in the second half, but you know how Peter's whole thing is, I don't want to be the hero. I don't want to be the hero. I just want to be a high school kid. Doesn't that run contrary to the entire ethos of Peter Parker? Like in Civil War, they pretty much say, you know, I was granted these powers, but if you have the power and you decide not to do something and then the bad things happen, that's your fault. He says that to Tony Stark.
Yeah.
It's the MCU way of saying with great power comes great responsibility. And then this entire movie is just him skirting that responsibility.
That's exactly what I was saying. Like, because it was
Tony died.
No, but that's not even why he was skirting it. He's like, I don't want to be a superhero and save the world. I just want to tell the girl I love that I love her. Despite the fact that in Civil War, he's like, you know, if you have powers.
I don't think that he was permanently taken off the superhero thing. I think he just wanted a vacation.
Yeah, but the world is in danger, man.
Yeah, I know. I get what you're saying. But, like, I do understand that. That's what I was saying, too. Like, it was a completely different vibe from the Peter Parker that was in the previous movies. From, like, Homecoming and Endgame and stuff. It was a completely different vibe from that Peter Parker.
Because I get the big crux of Spider-Man stories is, I was going to say Superman stories. A big crux of Spider-Man stories is him trying to balance his school, his personal life and superhero life and, like, struggling with that. But I don't remember him ever actually like saying, I don't want to be a superhero.
Yeah.
No, I want to live my real life.
And now that balancing the real life and superhero life is completely thrown out of whack now because of what happened in the credit scene.
Mm. Yeah.
Because he's now...
It's funny. I was... During the whole movie, they reveal the fact that he's Peter Parker so many times. Right, like even like Jake Gyllenhaal just hi, I'm Peter Parker, just casually, right? And
also, why would Spider-Man or Night Monkey walk into the bar with his mask off in front of everyone?
Yeah,
if he thought it was just a regular bar,
yeah.
I guess they played it off Peter the fact because everyone was dressed up because for that festival.
Yeah,
but still, like everyone knows who Night Monkey is now. This guy just
not now. It's just like, hey, I saw somebody wearing something similar last night that I see in the news now. I think it's just that, but like, yeah.
But it was just funny. It was just like, yeah, okay, everybody knows Peter Parker, Spider-Man. And then at the credits, I'm like, oh, okay, everybody does know.
So I have a couple of theories on how this like leads into the next phase. So like, for example, they're kind of implying that Flash is going to be the analog of Harry Osborn because, one, his father is apparently ill or whatever. Because remember when Peter wore Edith for the first time in the bus? Over Flash's head, he's texting his mom's like, hey, his father, like, ill. It's like, why are you, like, you guys aren't talking to me or whatever.
And even after when they got picked up from
the airport. Yeah, it's like, oh, his mother not here? Like, no, she couldn't make it. It's like, okay. Oh. So maybe his love for Spider-Man gets corrupted because he thinks Spider-Man also killed all those people with the drones. And then he kind of goes crazy like that. Alternatively, because we very conveniently don't see Peter's head. Like when he's saying execute them all, they could very easily just say, hey, Talos, can you turn into Peter Parker while I'm Spider-Man and I do whatever? And then absolve him like that.
I really hope they don't.
But I feel like it's going to be like...
Nobody knows he's Talos's thing.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Maybe Talos is going to be like, hey, I'll do you solid. I'm not actually Nick Fury. Maybe. But I hope they don't do that because that just seems too easy.
Mm-hmm.
All I'll say is I don't expect everybody to hate Spider-Man. I think it'll be like really half and half. Like some people,
and also, God damn it, I forgot again.
You gotta write this stuff down as you think of it. Like I have a list. What happened to Dimitri?
Oh, what that guy?
The Russian dude with the beard.
I don't know. He was just an escort.
I know, but like he just disappeared. Like he was trusted enough by Fury. He's like, hey, Peter Parker unmasked, Mysterio unmasked.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Nick Fury, this is Murray Hill, this is Dimitri. You have a big gun, and the last time we saw him was on the bus.
Well, if he's also Skrull, then he probably transformed into anybody
else. But we don't even see him after like the bus scene.
Does it matter? I don't think he even said one word throughout the whole movie.
Well, yeah,
he said the word 10 minutes when everybody was going to a washroom break. He didn't say that.
One side thing I did notice, do you know when you were saying that Peter Parker put on the Edith first time and it said a bunch of characters and their like titles or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
JB Smoove's character?
Yeah.
It said like Witchcraft or something.
Witchcraft Club.
Yeah, witchcraft club.
He's part of the witchcraft club.
Okay.
So that's why he keeps going, witches.
Witches.
That was done by witches.
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Come on, we need to think of this scientifically. It was witches.
It was witches. And he's a science teacher of all things, too. That was hilarious. Like, just say there's nothing science about this at all. And also, how small is that class? I went on the trip. It was like 10 students.
I don't know, but maybe it's just like... No, it's not just people who came back because the
Brad
was not blipped.
Yeah, he wasn't.
He was not there. Dusted or blipped.
Mm-hmm. Also, that scene where they showed the marching band pop up in the middle of the basketball game, that was hilarious. That was hilarious.
Oh, so good, yeah. and May's story is like, I just came, and then the wife thought I was the husband's mistress, and the grandma thought I was a ghost. I wish they like went into that more, because yeah. I'm actually like, how did the economy get messed up after everybody disappeared and reappeared? Like, how was, like, you know, food shortages?
Would have, yeah, like, how did, like, up, schools, right? Like,
I also find it, funny that they're expected to go back to school
mm-hmm.
and be part of a marching band during the blip period.
I love Betty or Betsy. I think it was Betty. Betty was actually like, I can't believe they made us redo the entire year. And then it's just like, well,
we already did midterms.
Movie scheduling.
We already did midterms.
Kind of side is just like pissed off at times. The co-host or whatever.
I wish the co-host came instead of Brad on this trip.
Brad was like, whatever. Just, he didn't even have a personality. anything else you guys want to talk about in Spider-Man? About Spider-Man? About Peter Parker?
I don't know. I feel like I'm forgetting to mention something as big as Gogeta, but like,
oh, okay. Yeah.
And yeah, I think we covered most of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That scene also where he was like building his suit and he was like, oh no, do this.
And there's the Insomniac PS4 Spider-Man suit that was in there.
Yeah, and also and the Far From Home suit is on the Insomniac game now too.
Yeah, that's true.
The only thing he really used was the shock thing. Right, in the actual fight, he didn't really use much other. Which was also in
the Insomniac.
Yeah,
he didn't use much other of the technology stuff, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I wish I saw more of it. And I honestly
like that throwback to like how Happy saw him as like, OG.
Yeah. I love Led Zeppelin. Yeah. I'm sad that Happy didn't go like, ugh, stupid kid.
Like he put him on such a high pedestal in that scene, and then everybody said Led Zeppelin's like,
and I love Peter like with such confidence. It's like, I love Led Zeppelin. But yeah, I get that scene was mainly because like, okay, he was not gifted his suit from Iron Man. He made it himself, mm-hmm. like how he's supposed to be, like make it himself, like it's a labor of love from himself. But it's still kind of just done by Tony.
Yeah,
like,
still kind of done by Tony. Yeah, but yeah, I think that about covers everything.
They mentioned Pepper Potts.
Yeah, Pepper couldn't be here, like, in the very beginning for the thing.
I thought she would show up at some point, but...
Probably not.
Apparently, she didn't even know she was in Homecoming.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was there for, like, what, 30 seconds? So she probably thought it was the end of one of the Avengers movies or something. It was just funny.
There's that clip. Jon Favreau has that new show.
Chef.
And he talks to her. He's like, oh, yeah, you were in Spider-Man. She's like, no, I'm not. He's like, yeah, you had that one role in Spider-Man where you're talking to Tony before you got engaged stuff. He's like,
No, it wasn't. Chef's was the movie. Avengers. This was.
Oh, right, Chef's the movie. Yeah.
The making of that.
Yeah,
it was. That was hilarious.
I don't find that big of a deal because it's like whatever. She's not gonna keep.
Yeah, I know, but I just found that hilarious that she like the whole Marvel.
She doesn't know where her paychecks are coming from.
It's just so mixed up. Like no one knows what they're in. Because there's so many crossovers in that series, you know. But I think that book covers. Everything,
to be in the room. Where the entire MCU is already laid out, like for the next like few arcs.
What's after this? What's the next? Like, what's the introduction to the next phase?
We will find out in Comic-Con Hall H, like whenever the panel. That's going to be the big exposition of.
I'm trying to figure out what the other next movie is. The only one I know of is Black Widow.
Black Widow and Eternals are the only ones actually confirmed to being made.
Eternals.
Phase 4. I'm going to look it up right now.
Because on Wikipedia, the only thing listed is Black Widow.
I will say this. Did you see the...
Which is a prequel, no?
It's a prequel.
Yeah. Did you see the sign? So Avengers Tower, there's a sign under it or beside it or whatever that says, we can't wait to show you what's next. And then one arrow to two, arrow to three, arrow to question mark. Because what's Phase 4 going to be like?
Mm-hmm.
So my theory is... Phase 4 villain, not this next saga, but the Phase 4 villain is going to be the Oscorp. It's going to be Oscorp, and that's going to become Oscorp Tower. And then after Phase 4, he's defeated. Then Phase 5, when the Fox properties are being brought in, because we know they're not being brought in Phase 4. Hey, you know what?
Oh, they're not?
No, he confirmed Phase 4 is too soon. We're going to bring him in Phase 5.
Fantastic Four would be great for Phase 4.
Fantastic Four is going to come in Phase 5, take over the Avengers building, and call it the Baxter building.
Saga villain going to be Galactus then?
I think, I don't know, maybe, possibly.
Because if they bring in
I think X-Men. Secret Invasion is going to be the next saga.
Because if they bring in X-Men, then there's Silver Surfer, and then there's
I feel like Secret Invasion is going to be like a better full thing. But I will. There was also apparently a sign by Avengers Tower that had the address of the Baxter Building nearby.
The what?
Like the like it was 41 whatever. Like hold on, let me look it up.
The what building? Backstreet Building?
Baxter Building is the Fantastic
Four. Yeah, that's what he goes like the Backstreet Boys. What did they have to do with
the Baxter Building is the name of the Fantastic Four thing.
Oh okay.
But yeah, there's.
Did you find the address?
That's not important.
Okay, whatever. All right, is that's it?
Yep.
All right.
42nd Street of Madison Avenue. So 42nd Street. So like he was swinging by Avengers Tower and he saw for 41st Street. So.
Oh okay.
42nd Street, Avengers Tower, Baxter Building, same place.
Yeah. All right. I think that ends it off now. Air, where can they find us?
Well. What do you want to give this
rating? Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I'll give it...
You guys recommend people should watch this?
Electric web shooter over a regular web shooter.
Nice.
6 spider legs out of 8.
Nice.
You said that one before we went to the spoilers.
I was also going to say, where's Dimitri out of 8, but then I just said, where's Dimitri, because that was on my list.
Damn it, I used that up too.
0 Brads out of 1.
Oh my god, I hate Brad.
That was good. That was a good one. I recommend the movie.
Yeah,
it's on the level of Homecoming in my opinion, but it's as a Spider-Man movie, it's very entertaining to watch.
So on that note, you can reach us at dayoneupdatecast@gmail.com. That's dayoneupdatecast@gmail.com. Please do write to us, and you can also reach us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at dayoneupdates. Also, please follow us, like us, message us. Let us know you're out there.
Oh, and we also forgot to say our scheduling changed in the beginning, did we? Did you say that?
Yeah, well, you know what? We can always just edit it and throw it at the beginning, okay, but yeah. We'll say it now.
All right, yeah, so if you guys haven't noticed, we're going to be changing our scheduling to long form is going to be once a month, so it's going to be at the end of each month, so the next one's going to be end of July, and our short forms are going to be weekly now, and that's going to be pretty much our main type thing. All long forms are just going to be once in a while.
Yeah.
That's about it. And yeah, hope you guys enjoyed, and we'll catch you guys next time. Peace out.